hear these words. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you to be servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. We spent a lot of time this week celebrating the fact that we live in the land of the free, in the home of the brave, and we should. We are truly blessed to live in a land where we are free to pursue just about anything we can imagine. There's not very many places on our planet like that. Our blessings of liberty and freedom were secured by brave men and women who were willing to give their very lives for these ideals, and many of them did just that. But today I want to talk to you about the land of ongoing need and unsung heroes. I hope to inspire each of you to become one of those heroes. You saw some representations just now in our video of what these needs are and what those people look like. You might have even noticed at the very end, you saw our Kipling t-shirts that inspires people to labor with us. Somewhere in this great country of ours, in any given town, there is some person who won't smile, because they're embarrassed by the sight of their own teeth. Somewhere in any given town in this great country of ours, there is a homeless family wondering, where are they going to lay their heads tonight? There's a victim of domestic violence wondering how in the world her life got this way and how in the world it's going to get better. There's a latchkey kid somewhere, and he sure could use some help with his homework or some solid guidance in his life. And just down the road from us here in Kipley, there are families who have been flooded out of their homes, who have been burned out of their homes. There are others. There are hungry, ragged, sick, tired, lonely, depressed, marginalized people. There's no shortage of need. There are people in clear need all around us, and I encourage each of you to take a careful look. You'll see what I'm talking about. I have no doubt if you keep track over the next 3 or 4 or 5 days, you will come up with a list longer than your arm, possibly taller than you are. So my question, my challenge to you today is this. What are you going to do about that? Simply by focusing on the first 2 verses of our scripture text today, we can find what we should be doing. Verse 12, Jesus raises the bar of how we are to love one another. He raises it to a whole new standard apart from the ancient standard set forth in Leviticus that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. That bar is far exceeded. The new criteria is this, and remember, this is Jesus saying this, that you love one another as I have loved you. Did you catch that? Jesus is telling us that he wants us to love each other the same way he loves us. How is it even possible to love another human being that much? And here's a one-word answer for you. Sacrificially. That one word is challenging simply because we do live in the land of the free, and it seems like pop culture everywhere encourages a very me-first existence. Jesus tells us how to love in the very next verse. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Until about 2 years ago, I was a person who took that verse very literally. But the daily life and service of our pastor, Melinda Ivy, caused me to rethink that. I was sitting in the back corner where I normally sit, and I was listening to another church member tell a story that week had been very trying for her. She had a medical crisis with her child and her family, and she told the story how Melinda Ivy showed up in short order with her presence and her prayers and moved faster than anybody on earth could possibly move to be there for this family in need. And as I was sitting there listening to this story, my eyes kept gazing back at the cover of the bulletin that week. And you might have guessed by now that John 15:13 was quoted on the cover of that bulletin, and it struck me then and it stayed with me since, that perhaps the literal interpretation isn't all there is to this. It occurred to me that the laying down of one's life bears reflection. And I was curious to know how others interpreted this. So I spent a good chunk of time this week conducting a survey. Some of you know this because you graciously participated, and I do thank you for that. My question was simple. Who or what do you think of when you hear these words? Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Here's what I found. I got 54 people to answer that question. My goal was 100. I got 54. Family, friends, strangers, young, old, different faiths, different educational levels. And here's what they had to say. Not surprisingly, 23 people said Jesus. 10 people said the military. 7 people said law enforcement or first responders. 14 people had other, remember that word, other answers. A few of their answers did refer to groups of people who literally gave their lives protecting others. But it seems that the literal interpretation is popular and prevalent. 74% of the respondents to my informal survey referred to someone who had actually sacrificed their last breath or to somebody who had a duty to do so if necessary. Jesus dying on the cross to cover our sins, a courageous soldier defending his country in a foreign land, a brave police officer doing their duty to protect and serve, an organ donor enlightened and compassionate giving in their last. One person specifically said the people on Flight 93 on 9/11, and another person specifically said simply Riley Howell, the young man who gave his life at a school shooting at UNC Charlotte not so long ago by tackling the gunman. But here is the thing. We cannot leave the laying down of lives to Jesus, just to Jesus, the military, the police, the Riley Howards of this world. Not when there are needs all around us that you and I can and should be tending to. The fact is that none of us are Jesus. Most of us don't work in jobs that require us to physically protect and defend, and thankfully, very, very few of us will ever find ourselves in an extraordinary situation where we have to make a literal life or death choice. So we must explore this figurative interpretation, because Jesus was talking to all of his disciples when he said to lay down your life, and claim to be a Christian, then you are a disciple of Christ. So here are some of the answers to the others on the survey. One person said, who's here today, by the way, who said, to give beyond the level of convenience. Thank you, Chaplain Ramsey, for that answer. One person said, to raise others above yourself. Another said, to give of yourselves for the betterment of others. And those two came from Dave and Penny. Thank you. And not to minimize anybody's responses. But my very favorite response came from a young man who had just started working the counter at the convenience store, Whitey's, just down the road from us. And I asked him, he agreed to take part in my survey. And there were two clerks there. He was being trained and a customer behind me. And the one young lady immediately said, Jesus. The customer behind me who was overhearing all this said, Jesus. And the young man said, my dad. Now, I wrongfully assumed that his dad must have been in the military or a cop or a first responder. So I said, tell me about your dad. And he very simply said, my dad was always helping everybody without hesitation. And he said it with such sincerity and with such a beautiful smile on his face and such humility. And I would love to go and find that dad and tell him what an amazing legacy he has already given his son. And may we all leave such a legacy to our family and our friends and our community, that when people ask, who or what do you think of when you hear these words to lay down your life for your friends, they say, my neighbor, my friend, my person I go to church with, that lady I see over there, that man who's always picking up the trash. The great 80s rock band Bon Jovi summed up the other responses perfectly with these lyrics. I'll be there for you. These five words, I swear to you. There are hundreds, if not thousands or millions, of ways that you and I can love as Jesus loves us. And what does this look like? It looks like Earl and Anita, who arrive here early every Sunday morning to take care of the sanctuary and tidy things up, get the bulletins prepared, and other things ready for worship. It looks like the people who helped our friend Laura out. They saw there was a need in her yard, a car need. She had called AAA, this was just yesterday. In 3 or 4 minutes, there were people in her yard fixing her car, but it wasn't AAA. It was her neighbors who drove by and saw the need and stopped and helped. It could look like my friend Dave Crum back there sitting in the very corner this side. Wave, Dave. Dave happens to be visiting with us today. He is a kind, caring, humble, low-key kind of guy, and he is really, really, really awful at retirement. Dave retired from the U.S. Air Force. He was fit and able, so he began a second career with the North Carolina State Office of Emergency Management. And then some decades later, he retired again. He's still doing okay. He and his wife were looking forward to some leisure pursuits, maybe some travel, doing things they didn't have time to before retirement. But then, because we live in the great state of North Carolina, you know what happened. A hurricane hit, and the Office of Emergency Management asked him to come back, and he did. And after a long stretch of months, he retired again. And before Dave even had time to settle into his life of leisure retirement, another hurricane hit. And by now you know that Dave went back to work. He only recently retired again a few months ago. Now, Dave could have easily said, I've done my time and it's someone else's turn. Any of you ever heard that? But he didn't. He sacrificed his long-awaited leisure time to serve the needs of others. And when Dave is really not working for the State Office of Emergency Management, he also volunteers his time for an organization called Remote Area Medical Clinics. You actually saw a picture of one of those in our video earlier. This all-volunteer group sets up temporary clinics for underserved populations and offers free medical, dental, and vision care to needy people. Hundreds of people donating their time and talents in loving service to others. The last one he participated in was just a few weeks ago in Wise, Virginia. Together, 1,681 volunteers, that's how many it takes, served 1,128 individuals who were in desperate need, lined up for hours to get the care that they received. 1,128 people. That number represents patients who can now smile because they got their teeth fixed, children who can see because they got glasses, people who are healthier because they received necessary medical care, all because 1,681 people chose to lay down their lives for a few days of service to others. Laying down your life could look like Chaplain Mike Ramsey back there, who works full-time, takes the time to fill a statewide chaplaincy, and who, not so long ago, took on the role of guardian for an admittedly cantankerous, elderly, mentally ill woman because no one else would, not even her own family. He committed to visit with her, get her medical treatment, and he walked her through her journey from independence to nursing care and to her final days. He put his own goals on hold to be there for this woman when no one else would. And here is part of what Mike said about that experience. We are the hands of Jesus. We are the means of grace and mercy for many, and oftentimes we don't know it. Our life pales in comparison to the needs of others. Friends, Mike laid down his life for this woman. Moving on in verse 14 and 15, Jesus calls us his friends and no longer his servants. Jesus presents a very high ideal for the life of his disciples. He says, I shall no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. I call you my friends because I have made known to you everything I have learned from my Father. Jesus no longer held secrets from his disciples. He tells us everything that he has heard from God. And this, my friends, is the wonderful ideal of community. To reach a total state of transparency and trust with one another, being able to enrich one another by speaking about and sharing our experiences with God. The first Christians succeeded in reaching this ideal after many years. Later on in Acts, we read three times, they had only one heart and only one soul. Verses 16 and 17, Jesus tells us, he has chosen us. We have not chosen Jesus. He met us. He called us and entrusted us on a mission to go and bear fruit, and a fruit which lasts. It's true, oh, it is so true that we need him, but it is equally true that he needs us. We need to be the earthly embodiment of Christ to serve the needs of others. As Chaplain Ramsey says, we are the means of grace and mercy. And I'm going to add to that, we might be the only acts of grace and mercy that some people experience in this earthly world, and we are called to share that. We must lay down our lives to be able to continue to do that in this day and age, what Jesus did for the people of Galilee. This is his commandment. Love one another. At the beginning of my message, I listed out a few needs that can be found in almost any given community in our country, and by now, maybe you've thought of a few that you know of specifically. What are you going to do about them? I leave you today with that question and this answer. Jesus gave his command to his disciples, 12 ordinary people, just like you and I, and we are now his disciples as well. Love them as I have loved you. Lay down your life. And all of God's people said, amen. And Reverend Broadwell.